If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
We're dealing with some stuff that I don't know much about. When Frank McGarry calls me and says, "Hey, Rick, you haven't heard from me in 5 or 6 years. Do you want to know what I'm doing?" I have to say yes, because Frank has done some amazing stuff that I've written about years ago with Red Moon Theater, and I was terribly intrigued by what you're doing now. Frank, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Samaram Diaz-Negrete, your work with Frank. And Sonia Henderson, whose first name is often misspelled, is here, but it is pronounced Sonia.
Hi.
Tell me what Cabinet of Curiosities is. What do you do now, Frank?
Well, firstly, we're grateful to be here. Thank you for having us. And we started Cabinet of Curiosity about 9 years ago to develop a collective-run company that's interested in designing ritual celebrations, sometimes with other professional artists, sometimes with untrained artists or community members.
To what end? To what end did you start this thing to say, oh, one day we'll be, you know, on the Chicago theater stage? I think it's much more than that. I think it's a sort of deeper.
Yes. No, that to the end that we are very interested in the art of ritual, mm-hmm. that the belief that ritual brings people together and helps them heal, recover, think, be part of community, and celebrate together.
In a world that seems splitting
more
at the
and more
seams,
isolated,
frankly.
Right.
Sonia, how did you meet Frank?
I met Frank last year for a parade that he was giving with the Mother's Healing Circle. It was a parade for what? Art on.
The Halloween parade, Arts in the Dark.
In the Dark, and he invited the Mother's Healing Circle to be a part of that. They did incredible umbrellas. They used a lot of our quilts that were made by the mothers to exemplify and have legacy for their children. And they put them on umbrellas. We almost like second-lined, you know, in the parade. It was a lot of fun.
Great. Tell me about this Mother's Healing Circle thing. You were the founder of this, correct?
I am. So in 2020, I started a group called the Mother's Healing Circle for mothers who lost their children to violence. I had been working with them for
sadly, that's an ever-growing crowd.
It is. And so what I wanted to do was to bring some comfort to them, ease their suffering the best that I could, and try to give them skills around trauma and grief. Mm. So I started that in 2020. I've been doing it kind of on my own. And I have incredible collaborators like Cabinet of Curiosity. And I also have resident artists that come in and help heal the mothers through different modalities.
Yeah. How do you reach out to these women?
How
do you find them?
Yeah, I was working with them through Urban Gateways about 10 years ago, and it was a need that wasn't really looked after or cared for. They gave me like 3 visits with them, and the mothers said, we want you to come back, and we love what you're doing. And so I had a personal tragedy in 2019. I lost my brother to a childhood illness, which subsequently and tragically, my father died a month later due to a broken heart, and then my grandmother. I happened to be working with these women making quilts for Illinois Humanities. I was in a program with them, and I said, I would like to stay with these people. And so I asked for a little bit of help, and I got it, and I was able to, in 2020, start my own group, and I've been meeting with them weekly. Since then.
Every week where?
I meet with them at the Nichols Tower at 906 Holman Avenue in Lawndale. In Lawndale.
Sure. Wow. Okay, young man. I don't do anything, Rick. What are you talking about? Samaram, you're a graduate of the School of the Art Institute.
Yes, I am.
Go ahead.
I've been working with Cabinet of Curiosity since I started as an intern and apprentice at the School of Celebration.
What drew you there in the first place, beyond the astonishing personality of Frank here?
Well, before I met Frank, I encountered cabinet. I encountered a lot of things about it online. I kind of stalked it as I was looking for internships, and I discovered this company which really just focuses on, as a nonprofit, it reached out to communities. I saw all the pictures of the amazing kind of spectacle environments it created, all the rituals it intentionally pushed to heal and to unite different communities of color and people of different genders, identities, and it seemed so open. It seemed so fascinating to me that I was like, well, I have to apply. I'm looking for opportunities to be of service. I'm looking for opportunities to grow and be part of the city's art community. And, well, I sent Frank my portfolio, and that's how it started. Now I'm Associate Artistic Director here at Cabinet, having graduated the school celebration.
We've sort of scratched the surface of Sonia's work with Mother's Healing Circle and with Samarin being a colleague of Frank's, and what Frank does with the Cabinet of Curiosity. You can go to COC, that means Cabinet of Curiosity, Chicago.com, and get more information. There's a nice video up there shot by a talented young Frida. But this Saturday, this coming Saturday on the south side, 6400 South Kimbark, at the First Presbyterian Church, there is an event that all of you have collaborated on, are putting on. Tell me the seed of this thing, Frank. Start with you. What is it? And it's, I mean, it's, I love the title, Honor Thy Mother.
So Cabinet has created a number of outdoor interactive participatory rituals that are based on, if the audience doesn't come, the show can't happen. So for several years, we did free pedal-powered programming, where if the audience didn't come to ride the bike and power the electricity for the event didn't happen.
Wow.
The principle being the audience is critical to the experience versus
and
we're going to...
Critical and also collaborative,
yes.
Too, yes?
Okay. Authentically participatory.
Gotcha.
Not, you know, they're not sitting and watching us do something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's been a series of those events that we've been learning from the past several years, beginning with one called Reflections on Fire that evolved into a number of different events, panoramic prayers, all spiritual in nature. And when we met Sonia and the mothers and accomplished the parade, they were such deeply warm human beings. And it felt they were moving to me and Samarim and the rest of Cabinet's team, and we asked them, could we do an event around Mother's Day to celebrate their experience and help them heal and create a ritual where the guests could assist in the healing of their losses. And we weren't quite sure what that was going to look like.
Sure.
All we really knew was, let's get together and sing. Let's have a sing-along, and that's when Zara Baker joined us and another person by the name of Zen Frankie, who is a legitimately unique creature on this planet, a vegan Buddhist teacher, Reiki master, who's also a world percussionist and has been a participant in authoring the event. And then the mothers began, it's loose. All ritual construction starts loose.
Sure, of course.
You know, what do you women think it could be, Sonia?
How many mothers are involved at this stage?
We are paying 10 mothers to participate.
Okay. And what were they, are their ideas, and how do you spur their ideas? Because I'm just making a wild guess that few of them have ever done anything like this.
Well, before. Most nobody has ever done anything
yeah,
like this.
Yeah, exactly.
So we start with a principal idea. We're going to have a giant 10-foot sculptural gown that can receive projections, so it's kind of a living, organic creature. And those images can be whatever we want. They can be images of the children you've lost, the home they grew up in, their names, their astral sign, whatever it is, and then we play in discussion about what it could be. We bring in a projectionist to begin taking photos and transforming them with other Afrofuturism images that the mothers are affiliated with or feel comfortable with, and we make that art together, and then we say, what if there are ritual guides in the space that are intermingling with the guests, passing out tiny messages, little messages of hope, tiny letters with magnifying glasses, so the audience has to really lean in to decipher the message. The mothers write the messages, and then we package them into tiny envelopes, and then there's ritual guides wearing backpack chandeliers that are run by small batteries, moving around the space, passing out these messages from the mothers as the guests arrive to the event. And then should we have food? And we talk about the kind of food, and should we have alcohol? So it's a collectively authored event. What I've learned and what I try to teach apprentices, like when REM started, is the best idea wins. So if there's a group of students in here who've never made a ritual before, doesn't matter. The best idea will win. So here's my platform. What if? And then we wait for the better idea to emerge. And then we democratically select that idea. Sometimes that's very difficult. So we began with five songs that we were going to sing collectively as an audience and as mothers and Zara.
Where do you get the songs?
The women chose them, the mother selected them, and we had to cut to and move them into more of an ethereal experience at the beginning of the event because they were difficult to sing. A Whitney Houston song, and if you don't know, Whitney sings particularly well, and then another song that was just causing us some challenges.
So what kind of space is this? I know it's at a church, but what kind of space
is inside the space
church?
Is a historical hall in the church.
Okay.
So what's interesting, there's many, many interesting things.
Like a meeting hall or?
Classic meeting hall.
Okay, no pews, but
just pews. Okay. Classic meeting hall. Where I think they ran choir practice when the church was active, because there is a choir perch in there for singers.
Uh-huh.
And what the First Presbyterian Church of Chicago did about a year ago that was very interesting is they put out a call for artists interested in working in sacred spaces with sacred practices.
Yeah.
So we went to them and said, that's very interesting. That's what we do. Can we collaborate? And they said, welcome. Here's a space. So that's where we're doing this event.
What, Sonia, are some of the women that you're helping, are they reluctant to, because you know, someone who is dealing, someone who is dealing with the trauma of death, they can tend to be either suspicious of people who want to help them, mm-hmm. what's in it for you, mm-hmm. or just so damaged that it's hard to get through.
So I just want to say that I love everything that Frank had to say, and the Mother's Healing Circle is also a sacred space, and the way Frank works is very external and building community, and the Mother's Healing Circle is a sacred space that is a little bit more internal and a little bit more closed, because yes, dealing with trauma and grief is tricky. It is not a straight path. The mothers can be very joyful and excited and exuberant one moment or one day. And anything can trigger
Anger.
Yes, yeah. Anger, any type of like frustration.
Sure.
And it has nothing to do with really what's going on in the space or even the person that might have triggered it. It has, it's deeply rooted to the death of their child. And I'm working with women whose last vision of their child was probably in a public way and a very violent death. So it brings up these emotions of loss and of like yearning for your child, wanting to hold your child, and the anger around the situation in which they left. So this is incredibly powerful work that that Frank and Rem are doing, the Cabinet of Curiosity. This is a new modality for us to heal and to process feelings. This is something that they've never done, and I will say I am a public artist myself, and I do not necessarily, and a ritualistic person, I feel, but I've never really dove into kind of body movement and singing. My practice is very much visual arts and sculpture. And so when I bring them that modality of healing into the classroom, it usually has to do with painting and drawing and quilting and the visual arts. So this is a very new, exciting expression for them. And these women, the wonderful thing about this, even having this this conversation, is because when you see a family who's lost a child on the news, it's very one-dimensional and it's very flat. You don't have a real idea of the volume and the depth of these people.
Yeah.
So they laugh. They have a lot of fun. They're very joyful. And they're deeply rooted in church, so singing is kind of their thing,
sure.
You know? So I hope to have a lot of fun with them and for this to be a moment to release,
yeah.
You know, a moment where they can kind of release all this joy and an evolution.
You're a week out from this,
yeah.
Less than that.
It's a lot of time.
It is a lot of time. It is a lot of time. Do you say that in a good way or
no? I say that in a real way.
Yeah. Yeah.
A week is a long time in ritual making.
Yeah,
it's a lot of minutes to think. Oh, what if this happened? What if this happened? We just went on Saturday and asked Max Lee, who runs the church, can we have open flame candles? And he said, absolutely. So now I'm on a
candle
obsession.
Kick. Candle kick. Yeah. Well, this is fascinating.
I want to add one thing to what Sonia just said, if I could.
Sure.
So it is the mother circle, who, and they have very gracefully welcomed us in, is such a powerful, organic, moving thing that has its own sense of time. So the mother experienced the loss of their children and the return of their children,
yeah.
Let's say, in messages, birds or images or letters or songs.
Wow.
And the other night there was a storm at the event, at the workshop, excuse me, and rainbows came out in the windows, and the mothers got up from their seats and went to the window together and stood together and held one another.
Oh.
And it was a moment where you knew that they were experiencing love and kindness and support in a way that you can't manufacture.
Yeah, of course, right. Of course.
It was a double rainbow.
Welcome back. Samarin, who you've been listening to, is now going to tell us more about the First Presbyterian Church of Chicago because I was hogging the mic or something. He wants to, he wants to say a few words.
No, it's my pleasure, Rick. The First Presbyterian Church, of Chicago is, by all accounts, one of the longest-running institutions in Chicago, older than the city itself.
Mm.
The church is a beautiful building, almost 100 years old at this point, the building itself, and has housed so many initiatives that we were genuinely impressed by when we visited. So one of the many impressive things about our audience at Cabinet is that they'll kind of go wherever we ask them to.
Sure.
It's very unique. Our show last
they
December.
They trust you. I mean, they trust.
They trust you, and they're interested. They're curious, you could
exactly.
say.
Yeah, right.
As we draw them in, we've learned they can come kind of anywhere. Last December, we had a show in the middle of a cemetery at night, and they all came as lost as they got. They made it to the show and enjoyed it. So this year, we've committed our programming to just being in kind of under-recognized, non-for-profits, places that we want people to see more, that we want to collaborate with. And as we were looking for one for this event, we discovered the First Presbyterian Church of Chicago. And Max Lee, the events coordinator, gave us a tour and showed us all the amazing things this church has.
And they were amenable. They were welcoming to you, yes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That church is welcome, is open, has open arms for everyone, is what we've learned. They have so many like progressive initiatives. They have an immigration office inside. They have so many open community things. And the space itself is amazing. If you ever visit, the main church location has beautiful stained glass windows, all of which represent women in different positions as doctors, healers, teachers.
Wow.
And those same stained glass windows have bullet holes from an FBI raid on the Blackstone Ranges that were occupying that church at one point. So much history, and that's just the kind of place we want to be at, and we want our audience to come visit and to discover along with us. It really is.
And your audience, you've been tempting me off air with the menu. I mean, this is an event. I mean, it is not simply, you know, some deep. I think the meaning of the event will come through. But
it is a party.
Thank you. In order to deliver a message of any sort, sometimes entertainment is the best means. You've known that with Red Moon forever.
It's an interactive party celebration.
Yeah.
And the there's a series of ticket ranges, but generally the ticket will get you a full vegan buffet, soul food buffet, including seitan vegan rib tips, vegan mac and cheese, vegan sushi, all delicious, and an open bar. So if you can temper yourself, which I encourage you to do, you can have a number of drinks and join us for the celebration.
Now, how long? When someone, let's say, okay, someone is driving down from, coming from Glencoe, who knows, or from, you know, Tinley Park or something. They're coming down. They're going to 6400 South Kimbark. They're parking nearby on the street.
There's parking everywhere.
Okay.
All over. Extremely accessible. And it's very easy to get to off of 55 or 90.
Uh-huh.
Couldn't be easier. It's like going to Hyde Park.
Yeah.
It's that neighborhood, neighbors Hyde Park. So it's a stone's throw from the university.
From the Obama Center.
From the It's right down the street from the Obama Center.
Yeah, I know.
Which is a nice landmark for folks.
Can you characterize, I know, Tim, you haven't been involved that long, and Sonia, you haven't been involved that long. Characterize your audience for me, if you could.
We're incredibly we're really lucky to have young punk kids and older affluent folk, and because we're woven so authentically into neighborhoods, we also get a lot of diverse attendance from people of color and other. Mm-hmm. So it's a wild mixture of people, and it's a gift that most companies do not have.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Now, we were saying before that there's a week left, and so this is a nervous time for you three, or do you rehearse this? You do.
We're rehearsing tomorrow.
We explore.
We are exploring.
Because it's a live event, so it depends on the audience singing with us. So every ritual is an experiment. So we try something on, we learn, we need to do this next time, or we should try this, or even in the event, there may be changes to make it more functional. So we will sing together tomorrow night with the electric guitarist and the percussionist, and we'll play and we'll learn.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll understand, okay, we have enough information to get in there and enough courage to see what happens.
And I'm sure, though, even given how you may on Saturday night say, okay, we know what we're doing, I have the feeling that this production is organic enough to involve and incorporate the way the audience crowd may react, yes?
What's fun about cabinet events is they are all directed live. So if we notice, Rem and I notice, oh, the audience is doing X, let's try Y. So let's get in there and inform them that we're seeing this thing. Now we're going to try this thing and let it happen.
Sonia, do you think this is going to be an ongoing collaboration?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. So this is year two, and I just want to say that I'm sort of the conductor of the Mother's Healing Circle. They look to me for leadership and for that sort of grounding.
Yeah.
And I'm the one that can kind of feel the emotional, you know, tenor, and whether we need to circle up, you know, huddle up,
Well, you have to be really attuned, sort of emotionally to what is transpiring.
Yeah, so I'm in tune with them. We've been together for 6 years, and some of us over 6 years. I also have other healers in the room. I want to mention Toni Asante Lightfoot. She's our resident massage therapist, acupuncturist, Reiki healer, and then Frank already mentioned Zen Frankie, and we're bringing somebody else in. His name is Shannon Harris, and he does audio pharmacology. So after...
What is that?
This is kind of tuning the body and the cells through frequencies,
really?
Which you should know a lot about being on radio.
I know nothing about radio. I mean, don't kid yourself just sitting in front of a microphone. That sounds fascinating. Explain that to me.
It is. So he actually will guide you through the different wave frequencies, the delta, the theta waves that our brain goes through as it's relaxing and going into sleep. And so these are guided meditations, and he's been doing this and has studied around the world, collecting frequencies and sounds and learning different modalities of healing through sound.
God, you know, the tapestry of Chicago is so rich.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
Most people never experience real Chicago. People are so afraid to go to a church like this because they hear mythology.
Well,
I'm not going to blame the news or the radio.
First of all, it's on the south side. When you were talking about, Sonia, before you were talking about, you know, what people see when there is damage being done to children. It's like, you know, yes, the news goes in, they helicopter in, they don't care. They don't care about anything but the blood and the police lights, and that's it.
The trauma.
And I think that, that gives a horrifying, horrifying misrepresentation of what the city is.
It's a wrongful representation. It's so part of our mission is get people to the South Side.
Yeah.
So that those other affluent white people understand it's safe here. It's actually beautiful here. Mm-hmm. What Sonia has happening in that room is full of psychic energy and power.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing it anywhere else. And if people aren't willing to travel to a place like that to witness that profound healing, they're going to miss out because they think, oh, that neighborhood just, it's poor and nothing good is happening there. That is absolutely incorrect.
I couldn't agree with you more.
I was sitting next to one of the mothers a week ago, and she said, Frank, if we heal ourselves, we heal. We can heal Chicago. And if we can heal Chicago, we can heal the state. And if we heal the state, we might be able to heal the nation. Mm. And I thought, oh, my God, here you are in this neighborhood, in this circumstance, thinking about healing the nation when there's billionaires on their yachts with the money that could do it.
Sure.
Not thinking about it. So that is an exceptional person who's blessed with the most important thing we can do while we're here for this short time is heal the world.
Mm. Well, Honor Thy Mother is a, if you've been listening to Frank and Rem, and familiarity, Rem and Sonia, You got to be a little intrigued to go see what this is all about, don't you think? And you get there's food, there's booze, and there's something you probably have never seen before. Mm-hmm. And it's not a matter of you going down there to help people. It's a matter of you expanding your own thinking and way of thinking. Is that a
and hopefully mixing amongst people that you would not commonly mix.
Yeah.
That's at the heart of the mission.
And who you may actually really like.
Yeah, that we if we can put the right if we can put people of difference in rooms together, they would generally wind up really enjoying one another and thinking differently about them and themselves.
Yeah.
And that's the big social shift that I personally think needs to happen is that most of our fears come from not knowing the other person.
That's exactly
hearing stories about them or what the media is telling us about that person instead of me getting to know Sonia and understanding this is an incredibly decent, loving, kind, generous human being. I don't care what her skin color is. I don't care that she's 4 feet taller than me. Everybody is. You know, I'm creating a relationship here with someone who's real and shares with me my interest in being a better person and making a better world.
Yeah. That's well put. Rem, I never asked you, how did you wind up in Chicago? How did you get
out? Oh, well, I was born in Peru, and I've had a pretty wild life story. My mom, shouting her out right now, Monica Negrete, works with Doctors Without Borders, and she took me all around the world. I've lived in Cameroon for 3 years, in Mozambique for 9 years. I lived in France. I lived in Colombia. And I wound up here after COVID just trying to discover myself, trying to find a little bit more about art. I thought Chicago was always one of the most interesting cities in the world, and I wanted to discover it, and that's how I ended up here in the U.S. right now.
Wow.
We were talking about it, just recently acquired my green card.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I hope.
and your grandmother only recently left the forest, true? The snake tribe?
In a way. For my father's side, we come from the Amazon, and my grandmother was indeed part of the Bora tribe. And my mother's side, we come from, you know, they're cowboys. They're Colombian cowboys, and as any Colombian has suffered from the drug trade and trafficking, but we are all stronger for our miseries. And that, I think that's something that brings us all together as communities. Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about the benefit itself. Since this Honor Thy Mother event is a open fundraiser for us, for Cabinet, and our mission to support our civic collaborations, such as with the Mother's Healing Circle, if you really do care about Chicago like I do, I've only been here 5 years, but I care about it so much. I graduated here. I married here just recently this December. I married my husband. And I want to support the city if you're like me. Think about it. Think about coming. Just by being in that room, you're helping heal the nation, you're helping yourself witness this thing. If you buy the $25 ticket for general admission, the $50 ticket for food, or the $100 ticket for everything, including open bar, you're going to have a good time. That much I promise.
The other great thing about, sorry to interrupt you, and I want you to continue, but the other great thing about something like this is, you know, it's 2 hours. Mm-hmm. It's 2 hours out of your life,
yeah.
And 2 hours can change your life.
Mm-hmm.
And enrich your life, and enrich it for a long time. Go ahead, yeah. Sorry.
No, it's true. And the thing is that people feel, and we were talking about this since COVID, it's difficult to get people to attend to live performances.
Sure, no question.
Things like that. But if you feel inside you an interest, a curiosity, that's truly what we're trying to appeal to, take the step. Check out our website, cocechicago.com. Check out the event. Read about it a little bit. If you know you don't think you can make it, you can always make a donation or just donate a ticket. For every ticket that is donated, if you write a little note or write us and you say this is for one of the community members, we can invite more and more people for the event free of charge. That is part of our mission.
Well, this is a good guy to be working with.
He's a remarkable young person.
Where do you find people like this?
They find me.
Yeah. I found him. It's true. And I tracked him down after I graduated the school celebration.
And he said, I need a job. And I said, well, I need someone like you. So we're going to shape an associate artistic director role for you.
Is that what you did? That's what you did.
And I feel really good about that because it's an act of service and he's tireless.
Yeah, I'll bet.
I mean, he's young. Yeah. I'm 1,000, so.
And I will always thank you, Frank, for the opportunity to getting to do this kind of work.
The school celebration takes 3 or 2 5 apprentices every semester. And the principal idea is people think they want to make ritual, but we bring in the apprentices for 3 months with a curriculum to help them determine, you know what, I actually don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard. I thought it would be easier or softer, but the truth is, it's laborious, complex, human-based work. So then once through the 3 months, we can decide, is this a good fit for you? And if it's a good fit, we say, you know, let's see if we can find you a position that impacts you and the enterprise. Mm. The E in COCE stands for an events. For events, because I was not interested in starting a theater. I'm interested in creating a ritual celebration enterprise, whatever that means in the West. We don't have rituals in the West, really. And if we do, they're not about the human spirit. They're not about evolution, change, and development. Want to dig into that and create those opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Sonia, talk to me a little bit more before we end this program, and thank you all for coming in.
Thank you.
About the Mother's Healing Circle really fascinates me, too.
Yeah, the Mother's Healing Circle, it really stems directly from my heart and spirit. And the mission of the Mother's Healing Circle is to heal each mother that has lost a child to violence so that she...
Are most of these mm-hmm. mothers, I hate to interrupt you, are most of these mothers alone in their
They range. They have partners, mm-hmm. husbands. They have family members that live with them, extended families, mm-hmm. Parents. And so each household is a little different.
Sure.
And some of these mothers who have lost, like one of our mothers lost her daughter, so now she has her daughter's children.
Yeah.
At her age, she never thought she would be raising her grandchildren.
Right.
And so so it's very complex, and our mission is to heal the mother so that the mother is stable, you know, and is there to enrich the surviving children and family.
Of course.
And to heal the world through healing the mother first. And like Frank said, if you heal the mother, mm-hmm. then the family comes next, then the community, then the nation, then the world. And that is simply the mission for Mother's Healing Circle.
Well, that also must be such a rewarding thing for you.
It is. I've been doing it on my own, like out of pocket. Like Cabinet of Curiosity talks about, you know, the work that they do and how we do not get a lot of funding for this. And I'm lucky that this year, the city of Chicago actually recognized the Mother's Healing Circle, and I got a neighborhood access project grant.
Oh,
so I know.
It's rare.
So that is, and it's, amazing. I was able to bring in these incredible healers. Once again, I have Tony Asante Lightfoot that's doing acupuncture on the women and really healing the body, the physical aspects. And we have Zen Frankie, which will be teaching foraging and nutrition and Reiki. And then once again, Shannon Harris doing frequency, you know, healing the cells, penetrating all the way to the cellular level. And now I have kind of a team. We're calling ourselves Reiki for All. And that's how we're going to expand rather than waiting for another child and a mother who has lost a child to join the group. So we're expanding through that way.
Mother's Healing Circle, do you have a website?
It is through my website, which is sonjahenderson.com, sonjahenderson.com. Okay. And it's under Mother's Healing Circle, yes.
And for the Cabinet of Curiosity, go cocechicago.com. And this Honor Thy Mother is one night only, ladies and gentlemen. It's coming Saturday from 8 to 11, but Frank maintains that he'll stay as late as you want to stay.
Having
booze and vegan sushi or whatever you're having at the First Presbyterian Church at 6400 South Kimbark. Thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you.
Frank,
thank you.
Frank, again, it's great to connect with you.
Thank you.
And you have broadened my horizons.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
What can I tell you? Get home safely and be safe and all that stuff. Krista Flores, thank you so much for. See, she should run the whole station for everybody. See how easy it is to run a big radio station?
It doesn't look easy, just so you know.
All you people out there, take care of yourselves.
Thank you, Rick.